Clark Kendall, President and Chief Executive Officer at Kendall Capital, is here. We're talking stocks now on the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly on the market now, and how they're putting it all together. And my guest is Clark Kendall. He's one of the more interesting folks we bring into the Market Call because, well, Kendall Capital, his firm, well, they work with all different types of investments. So the last time he was on the show, we were talking mutual funds and ETFs. Today, we're going to talk stocks. But I'll also mention that Clark, through his work, but also his book, in 2019, he put out a book called Middle Class Millionaire. Well, that's kind of what he's hoping folks to do. He's helping them become middle class millionaires and more. And if you want to learn more about him, the book, the firm, KendallCapital.com. Clark Kendall, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Oh, Chuck, thank you. Thank you. It's great. It's an honor to be on your show. And thank you for that great introduction.
Guests on Money Life, join us via the GameBridge hotline. Annuities don't have to be complex. With the GameBridge platform, you make a commitment of time for money by choosing an investment period that works for you and locking in a guaranteed fixed rate. Simple. Learn more at GameBridge.life. Clark, we always start with methodology, and you've got a system that has worked for you over the years. So explain what it is. When it comes to stocks, what is it that you want to be looking for that's going to help put people and keep people on that middle-class millionaire path?
Yeah, well, I think the methodology is fairly simple. All investments boil down to a return of cash flow and that predictability of the cash flow. I mean, that's why, you know, we have short-term treasuries trading at 1%, 2%. On the opposite side of the coin, you know, raw land that you're hoping to sell in 20 years will trade at enormous discount of potential future cash flow. What we do in the stock market is we discount those cash flows of the underlying companies that we're buying in. And with that methodology, I think we have stronger predictable returns. It's many times it's hitting singles and doubles in today's market.
In today's market, even hitting singles is particularly hard. What do you have to do to try to position yourself properly? Is it, have you changed it all in terms of, we're more interested in dividends and getting paid while we wait? Or are there things that you have done to make it that you can be a singles and doubles hitter? Because this market is certainly not giving up home runs and it's striking a lot of people out.
Well, I think that the big thing to do is clearly we've had a market pullback, you know, depending upon which industry you're looking at. The Russell 2000, the NASDAQ's down about 25%. A couple of weeks ago, the S&P was down 20%. I always tell people, take a big breath. The market being down 20% is a more common occurrence than people think. Over the last 100 years, it's happened on average about once every 6 years. So, you know, quite frankly, I've been in the business since the Dow was at 1,000. I hope to continue to be in the business till it reaches 100,000, and I suspect there's going to be many more 20% pullbacks. I also, just from a macro point of view, remember, you know, 2 years ago we had COVID. Basically, the government sent out checks, so there wasn't food lines. People were paid to stay home. The Federal Reserve dropped interest rates to stimulate the economy. And basically, they've telegraphed, we're reversing course. We're stop sending out checks. We're going to bring the interest rates back up to a normal, healthy economy. You know, how smoothly they do it is kind of a debate. But I think that's what's brought the market down from a big picture. It's come down that 20% or once every 6 year normal market correction.
I have to point out for anybody who is curious, Clark just said he was in the market when the Dow hit 1,000. That was 1972. So 50 years ago, and trust me, 100,000 is closer than it even feels if you just know how compounding works and all the rest. But you know, that gives you some perspective. With that in mind, does this market particularly remind you of one in the past? Is there, like, how comforted are you that you've been through this before, or how different is this?
Okay. Well, I graduated from college in 1983. The Dow was at 1,000 then, too. So we have gone through, you know, 10-year periods where we've had a flat Dow. I think fundamentally the economy is still strong. You know, GDP was down about 1% for the first quarter. Corporate revenues and earnings, though, are still increasing. We do have, you know, we have very low unemployment, 3.6% unemployment. And people, even though they complain about gas prices and food prices, you know, people, the consumer has a healthy balance sheet. I don't think that this is a, you know, 40-50% market correction. We still have a very healthy economy. We have labor productivity. Once we get supplies, you know, labor productivity because of technology is still continuing to improve. So I don't think we have that, as I said, a 40-50% market correction. I think we're having a healthy pullback in the marketplace. And I think for individual investors to manage inflation is probably the biggest hurdle for investors in today's market.
Well, what's something that stands out to you as the kind of thing you want to buy right now? I mean, what's in the sweet spot for you?
I think the sweet spot is a lot of these kind of, you know, value growth stocks or value dividend stocks in today's market. I think there's a great opportunity. It's kind of the second tier of the S&P. There's the Nifty 50, and that takes you back to the 1970 phrase. But the kind of the second tier value plays, I think, are great opportunities. If you want specific names, we can go into those.
Let's do it.
All right. You know, for example, I think a great value play is actually Dell Computer. It has a 2.6% dividend yield, trading at only 8x earnings, a strong, healthy profit margin of 10%. I mean, the dividend plays are great because not only are you buying 2.6% dividend, you're buying, you know, dividends and earnings that will grow over time. A couple of other names, Thor Industries, you know, the mobile home manufacturer. There has been a, you know, craze to get out and see the world. Here again, a good, strong 2.5% dividend yield. The stock's dropped from 150 down to 76. You know, this company's trading, you know, cash flow, you know, only 6x cash flow, 8x earnings. Here again, a strong profit margin. Also, I like, you know, Rent-A-Centers. They're in the business to basically sell, lease to own, furniture, electronics, probably not a product or service a lot of your listeners use, but they have a strong profit margin. There's a huge segment of our economy that uses this rent to own and, you know, has a 5% dividend yield. Believe it or not, last year revenues were up over 50%. Sort of a great company in as far as what I call meat and potatoes of America company.
Well, and it's funny because you say, like, not a lot of my audience use it. By the way, if you're not using a place like Rent-A-Center, you have too much stuff in your basement, right? That's the thing. Because on the one hand, like, the commercials always talk about rent to own. But the fact is, sometimes you just need, you know, you have that, oh, that tree came down. I need a log splitter. You don't need to buy one. You can rent one, whether it's from them or somebody else. It's like one of those things. When I hear somebody say that, it's like, yeah, if you're not familiar with that company, you've got too much stuff in your basement and your garage. That's my general feeling about that. Again, and I think that there's probably a lot of people who will get to that realm. I mean, I'm not the one buying stocks, and I have no stake in RCII, Rent-A-Center, but that's my take on it a little bit to some extent. What else stands out to you right now? We got time for a little bit more.
Well, great. We got Oregani, which is actually a spinoff from Merck. They've picked a segment of the market, you know, women's health care. Here again, has a 3% dividend, you know, a strong profit margin, trading only 7-8x earnings. So, you know, it's kind of that nickel and dime. And Atlas Worldwide, which is an outsource of aircraft operations and transportation, here again, a 25% profit margin. As we're all flying and goods and services are continuing to grow, you know, they have revenue growth of over 13% over the past 12 months. Here again, trading, but, you know, single digits, PE ratios. I think there's some great value. I call them, you know, value plays where you get a nice dividend. These companies are growing revenues and earnings. With the segment of the market that I still think is very expensive, you get the Zoom, the Pelotons, the Spotify's, the high PE ratio stocks that, you know, have come down considerably. But I think in today's market, as interest rates go up. Those were the ones that have been hurt the most, and I don't think that segment of the market is over yet.
And, you know, we talked at the beginning that you use both stocks and ETFs and funds. Are there places where you'd rather be owning individual stocks and places where you'd rather be owning indexes in this market with the kind of action that we've seen? Are there certain places where, yeah, I'd rather own an index here and then either supplement it or own individual stocks elsewhere?
That's a great question. We manage about $500 million for about 250 families. We're located just outside of Washington, D.C., but we have clients in 26 states throughout the country. I do prefer to own individual stocks within taxable accounts because they're, if a client, you know, our average client has about $2 million, if they're charitably inclined, when stocks appreciate in value, we can do, you know, donor advised funds. Also, we can, you know, if they're selling a rental property, you know, we can offset gains and losses. We can be much more tax efficient with individual securities. The big advantage of mutual funds is you get instant diversification. If you want to go into the microcap market, you know, the stocks and ETFs and mutual funds that have, you know, less than $1 billion in market cap, I think it makes sense to use ETFs and mutual funds. If you want to be in the international markets, if you have only limited funds, 10, 20, 30,000 to a particular strategy, it's best to use mutual funds and ETFs. The biggest disadvantage of ETFs and mutual funds is they distribute capital gains at the end of the year, whether you want them or not. So we tend to, many times, we employ those strategies within retirement accounts because that is not an issue as far as mutual funds distributing capital gains at the end of the year.
Well, now it's time to get your quick and dirty take on some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
It's Sock It To Me time.
Oh, yes, we are socking it to you now with Clark Kendall. He is President and Chief Executive Officer at Kendall Capital. It's kendallcapital.com, and as long as you know the name and the website, it's also at Kendall Capital on Twitter. And again, author of Middle Class Millionaires. We've talked with him about funds and ETFs in the past. Today, we are focused in on stocks. But I'll point out, if you want to get your favorite stocks or just things you're considering or maybe things you aren't favoring so much anymore in front of our guests, you need to send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck at MoneyLifeShow.com. We'll add them to our list and hope they make it into an interview soon. Our first two requests today come from Dave in Beaver Dams, New York. The first is Adobe Incorporated, ADBE.
Hey, Adobe is a great company. They have a great revenue growth, strong profit margin, over 40% profit margin. My biggest concern of Adobe right now is the P ratio, trading at a hefty premium, over 40 times earnings. This is what, you know, a good example of a company stumbles. If revenue drops off a little bit, profit margin drops off, you could easily, you know, have this stock drop in half in price and go back to a market multiple. I would be concerned. Good company. I've owned it in the past, but I wouldn't be buying it now.
So it's what we call good company, bad stock. You wouldn't be buying it now, and you'd be cautious if you had it.
I would be.
No money changes hands today.
That's a hold to a sell on ADBE, Adobe Incorporated. Dave's other request, McDonald's, ticker MCD.
Yeah, you know, this is also trading not quite as a hefty of a premium as Adobe, trading 25 times earnings, 20 times cash flow. The revenue's slowing down for the company. There's no really unique product or service that they're coming out with. Here again, good company, but I'd not buy it in today's market. I'd use it as, if it's in a taxable account, I'd use it as opportunity to fund a donor advised fund and buy one of the other stocks I mentioned earlier in the show.
I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah, unless you like that kind of idea there from Wimpy. McDonald's MCD, that was a sell. Or again, that financial planning idea of maybe you're not selling it, maybe you're using it as your donation so that you can take other monies and get them to work. Richard in Chula Vista, California wants to know about S&P Global Incorporated. Our last guest was Paul Grunewald, the chief economist there. It's ticker symbol SPGI.
SPGI is a great company. They everything that goes into creating the S&P index, they own that technology, and they have a priority on it. They have a 50% profit margin. They've steadily grown revenues and earnings. Here again, just like Adobe, though, it is trading at a premium. We've owned it for our clients' accounts for many years. We've used this as an opportunity to fund the donor advised funds. We have stopped purchasing it for new clients. We're finding other opportunities that makes more sense. But great company. It's just it's a trading at a premium.
Okay, so functionally, again, good company, bad stock.
And now for the profit taking.
Well, you might want to be taking your profits on SPGI, S&P Global. Our last two requests today come from Ray in Buena Vista, Florida. The first is Northrop Grumman Corp, NOC.
Northrop Grumman, yep. Here again, the defense contractors, because of the war, because of the equipment that we're sending to Ukraine, the defense contractors, Northrop Grumman and General Dynamics are trading at hefty premiums still. We're increasing our defense spending. But here again, I come back to this, some of those things like the Renner Center and the Thor Industries trading at less than half the valuations than the two defense contractors. You want to sell when everyone else is being greedy, buy when everyone else is scared and worried. And those companies are trading at premiums into market. The large cap stocks, I think I'd stay away from. I'd go more mid small cap value for many of the names I mentioned previously.
It's topped out. I say we sell now.
So again, good company, not the right stock based on valuations. Profit taking on NOC, Northrop Grumman. And Ray's last request, General Dynamics, GD.
GD, as I said, I put in, the characteristics and valuations are exactly the same as Northrop Grumman. I put them right on top of each other as far as to stay away for the time being. I feel like I just beat up on all of your call-in requests, but that's how I make a living. And as I said, as Warren Buffett so beautifully said, we want to be fearful when others are greedy. We want to be greedy when others are fearful. And you can see the dynamics. This is going to be a stock picker's market. And I think we need to stay away from the names that were so good yesterday and focus on some of the names we focused on today, the good values that still are profitable companies with good profit margins. I think that's where investors will make money in the horizon.
So we finish. It's a clean sweep. They're all no better than holds, mostly towards sells or, again, repositioning assets. That was a sell on General Dynamics Corp, GD.
Sell. Yes, precisely.
And, yep,
yes.
They were all sells, but that really doesn't mean that you were beating up on anybody, Clark. We appreciate it because he gave us the buys as well as we were talking about them earlier. So thanks so much for doing this. Let's do it again down the line.
I'd be honored.
That's Clark Kendall, the President and Chief Executive Officer at Kendall Capital Management, kendallcapital.com, on Twitter at Kendall Capital. We'll be back to tell you where Clark agreed or disagreed with some recent guests, including one who was on the show yesterday. And then we'll tell you what's coming tomorrow and the rest of the week, and then we'll cross the finish line. This is Money Life.